Ladies! Welcome. Alexandra is here. I feel like for those of you who are old enough to watch that show, what was it called? Where they said, I see Alexandria and I see Bernie. You know, she looked in the mirror. What was that called? Romper Room? Romper Room. And when I was a kid, I was like, she never says Marnie. So welcome to Romper Room. We do have some familiar faces, some new faces. People haven't been here in a while, so welcome. Super excited. It's a man lab. Carolyn almost is going to get a transcript because the phone was recording everything and it was to your Slack. So thank God I noticed. That's so funny when Siri does that. All right. So today, a little different in that there's no breakout groups, no accountability, just good old fashioned Q&A. We did secure Mike Goldstein for our man lab, I believe in March. That's going to be really fun if you are into the Mike G method from doing it in five keys. He's going to be here, which is going to be super fun. And I'm sure you'll enjoy all those questions, dating and relationship. I have another expert coming who I had on the podcast to talk about boundaries. She's literally amazing. If you are interested in the mechanics and details of boundaries, that's going to be a really great call. And the mindfulness makeover is going to start on Thursday. So we're going to be talking about the two most important pieces of really learning mindfulness, which is consciousness, really. And we're going to start with talking about making it very finite, this idea of like what is being present. So we're going to start on that on Thursday. If you can't make it, you can always listen to the recording. And there's some new meditations and some things that are going to be part of that. So that's coming up. Any questions before we dive into the questions? All right. So who would like to go first? Actually, Brittany, you need to give me an update because I found out that you are possibly dating someone. I didn't know how well
Well,
it was
we're not like dating yet, but
going. Okay, but
it's
you're seeing
going well.
someone
It's
a
still
few
going
times.
well.
Okay,
Huh?
great.
Yeah, I
A
mean,
little Brittany told me.
he has he's studying for this really big test for his financial advisor position. And I think I told you this. So things have been a little slow moving because it's a big test and it's in March. So I'm trying to just be easygoing and just, go with the flow and still talk to other people and do the process.
Okay,
But
good.
it is exciting. Like he's very sweet. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, good. Great. Awesome. See, if
Yes.
you know somebody who knows somebody in here, I'll find out. No.
I know. You can't hide from Marnie.
You cannot hide. All right. So who has a question? Who'd like to go first? Let me get my slow. Deb thinks Deb knows the test. She said it's really hard. So Jamie has a question, but she's driving. So we'll start with Carolyn.
This is something I've brought up before, and we've talked about before, and I feel like it's not quite sinking in, so I'm
Okay.
asking it again
Do it. There's no limit. You can ask the
yeah,
same
like
question many times.
okay, so when I went through Five Keys, I had this breakthrough in my art practice Well, I think it was really, I had received so much rejection. I was like, I'm going to just give myself a break. I'm just going to go out and meet people and do my work and not expect anything. And then like everything changed for me. So I've always wanted to apply that to my dating. But the thing is, I can't get to the point where I don't care if I meet someone, you know, like I'm still kind of like, oh, I really want to meet someone this year. So I really would love to bring that energy over to the dating, and I'm not able to do it. And I, so
that's a great question.
I must be able to access where I've grown in one part of my life and then use it in another part.
Well, I think number one is to give yourself some grace that it's not like that, like our brain, our wires don't like cross tracks so easy, right? Yeah. Otherwise, most of you wouldn't be here, right? Because you're successful in different parts of your life and you're like, oh, you know? So I think that the thing to look at is, what is it that you're attached? So I want you to think about not so much the goal,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is like, I want to meet someone, mm-hmm. but the feeling state. Right? Because you do have a vision,
mm-hmm.
right, of what you want to feel in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So part of like becoming irresistible or whatever it is the feeling state of confidence.
Right.
To where you're choosing, you're patient, you trust, right? You trust yourself, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
That are associated with the felt sense of what it would be like to be in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tricky part is, right, or this is what I think we really want to work on, is how do I get into the energy of that felt state now?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it was that you didn't care about your art. Because you did. I mean, part of you cared about your art, right? But the felt sense that you had was of confidence and connection and your passion for what you were doing. And you weren't bringing the goal.
I wasn't bringing any neediness because I wasn't.
Right.
Anything.
Right.
Right.
You didn't need anything. Right. Because you were taking on like So if you had the energy of like, you know, I sell my art for $3,000, right? Like if I have stability and I'm a great reputable artist and people buy my stuff, then you don't need anything. Right? So whether you realized it or not, you're calling it, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But what was it really? If you were going to go like, what was the feeling state or the energy state of that?
I didn't feel like I needed anything from anyone so I could have more rewarding interactions with people because I didn't need anything from them. So it was more authentic and more, I could be more vulnerable, more myself because I wasn't looking for anything from anyone.
Okay. Right. So your list to make is when I don't need things from someone,
mm-hmm.
right? What's going on internally? How do I feel about myself?
Yeah, got it.
What are my beliefs, right?
Yeah.
So all of that is feeling.
It's kind of like this, like, I feel great with the life that I have and simultaneously I want to meet someone. It's like those two things coexisting together.
Right. But yes. And if we look at like, so then how do I show up? What are the feelings and beliefs I have when I'm dating and I don't need anything?
Mm-hmm. I believe that I need to meet someone. So that's the thing.
Right. Exactly. Right. So you need something from people. So you're leading with, are you the means? Are you my mother? Right.
Yeah.
That book. And so you're leading with that.
Yeah.
Right. And so for everybody, right. Like the goal, and this is true. I mean, I think about this in my own journey, my own business, right? If I lead with like, I want to sell you guys shit, you know, like I need to get rich. I need to make money. Like, ew, gross. Who wants to work with that person? But if I just go like, all I want to do is help as many people as I can, and I got to figure out how to do that, that makes my life a lot more enjoyable. And also like, I love my work, right? Which is part of why I changed my whole business model, because it was becoming about what I needed instead of doing what I loved. Right. So we all, like all of you who like have a goal, it makes sense that we get so attached to the goal, we forget about the feeling of how we want to really feel when we get the goal. So what, when you're thinking about dating and love and relationship, you're like, I feel seen. Mm-hmm. I feel safe. I feel confident. I feel empowered. I feel beautiful. I feel like I'm on the right path. I feel like I'm living my gift. I feel like I get to be my essence. I feel like I'm expressing it all the time. That energy state is very different than checking the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So if you have time, I think doing the mindfulness thing is going to be really great for you, because most of the time when we can't get to that state, it's because we're futurizing. We're not present. We're not in the now.
Exactly.
And we're in automatic thinking, and we're not creating that spaciousness. So I think for you, it's like, we have to get really, really granular on like, how can you be in the felt sense and energy of the life you want now and enjoy that on the way, so you don't need anything.
Yes, I like that.
So keep asking the question. It's helpful, I'm sure, for everyone.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, Erin.
Hi. I have an embarrassing situation that I was too embarrassed to tell you earlier.
I love it.
So I'm just going to tell you in front of everyone.
Now. I know. I love that you picked to tell in front of everyone. That's so great.
Like, now or never. So I've been more like present in my dates, and that's been really fun. And I've been more vulnerable and practicing that. And I think I did it to the wrong person, and now I'm dealing with the repercussions. So on Friday, I was catching up with my old friend from grad school who I hadn't spoken to in like probably 5 years. And we were roommates, and he's married. And then while through catching up, I learned he was unhappily married. And then I just like, it was just, nothing happened because it was over the phone. Yeah. But I remember like, I feel like I was being vulnerable about my life, and he was being vulnerable about his life. And then I like, at the end, I was like, I feel so deeply connected to this. Like, it felt like a date, like the way I felt connected to someone after a date. And then the same things happen. So like, when I have good dates, I will like kind of feel this slow, like physical urge, like, and occasionally I'll like fantasize about the date if I find him really attractive. And then that same thing happened with Scott. And so then all of Saturday, I was like impulsively fantasizing, like, wait, am I going to have an affair? Like, is this what's happening? And I just got really confused. So I need your advice on like how you know how to turn, I guess, on and off, like the vulnerability and the connection, and just like how you engage with the other part of your, I don't know, like, do you, I guess you don't talk the way you do on dates to your guy friends who are married.
Probably. Yeah. So, well, first of all, like, you're not the first person or the only person going through this or has gone through this, for sure. And I want to give you like kudos for like being vulnerable and being authentic, right? Because you're like, oh, this is great. Like you said to me the other day, like this really works, right? When you're like open with someone, you can create a connection. It's kind of powerful, right? So two things. One is that is exactly what happens, right? When we create a connection, and especially if somebody like confides in you, they make it safe for you to be imperfect and share your struggle. And then that's like almost like pseudo intimacy, right? And if you have any tendency to be like the savior or the fixer, it's going to be really attractive. You're like, maybe I'm the one, right? And then that makes this feel in control and powerful. And then also I would line this up with actually talking to guys who are available, and that's scary for you.
Okay.
Right. Cause now you like Eitan and like you're talking to other guys and you have to, so it'd just be a lot easier to just get into this thing with someone who's unavailable. And then you never have to be available, which is safer. So I think the first thing is to like really give yourself some grace. So why does it make perfect sense that you would do this?
Because I'm really good at establishing connection now. And then it's like a safe place where I don't have to. I mean, this all kind of made sense in my head on Sunday, where I was like, wait, the reason why I never got together with Scott during grad school is because we don't have the same values. Like I like went down to the non, like, I was like, we do not have overlapping values. This is not, this would not work out. This is just like this phase that I went through because my neurons are rewiring.
Well, exactly. And that's what happens, right? When we have an emotional connection with somebody like that, it creates like, has anyone read the book Wellness? Have you heard of it? I highly recommend it. It's 700 pages, but the whole thing is about this woman is a scientist and a researcher, and she's studying the placebo effect. And the story is that she's like in college and she's an intern and she's working for this academic, and her job is she has to go on dates and ask these like 7 questions, because this academic's hypothesis is if you ask these 7 questions, someone will fall in love with you. And so she goes and she does it with all these guys. She gets paid $25 a date. And basically they all want to go out with her. they all want to fall in love with her. And the fun part of the story is she does it with one guy and ends up being her husband for like 40 years. And she's like, was it even real? Right. It was like a connection that was very like manipulated. So all you're seeing is that if you put X and Y together in a room, like Z will happen. Okay. So, and this is why we avoid pseudo intimacy. And this is why you have non-negotiables and all those things, because you now are so self-aware. You're like, oh, that was real. But was it really real? And also, this guy doesn't even meet my non-negotiables. So what am I doing?
Okay.
So I think you're safe. Okay. And then the question of like, well, what do I do to turn off those things? You tell me. So what could you have done differently? What would you do differently between a friend and somebody that isn't appropriate for you romantically?
I don't know if I would have drawn the line in terms of like revealing too much to him, but then also like when he's revealing stuff to me about his wife, just kind of be upfront about like, I'm not a therapist. Like, I feel kind of weird hearing this, and then just stop it there.
Exactly. Right. It's like, okay, this doesn't feel appropriate. If I were in this situation, I wouldn't want my husband to be talking to some other woman about me and our marriage.
Okay.
And putting an end to it, you know?
Yes.
But it feels good to have that, you know, that power and that control, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think, has he reached out to you since?
Just like talking shop with work, but nothing like to that extent.
Yeah. So
but
I would, just, I, yeah, I would probably like cut it unless you need to talk to him for work. Is he the Wisconsin guy?
No, that's Tom. This is Scott. Scott had the hots for me, but we never dated.
Okay. So, but similar to that, where you just like put like very clear about what you're looking for and what you're not looking for with that guy, I would just send him a message and be like, hey, I just want you to know, like, felt kind of weird. Like that was probably inappropriate. I'm in a place right now where I'm dating and I'm ready for my person. And so I think it's best that we don't connect, but I really wish you the best, you know, with your situation.
Okay.
So I think that will be very healing for you and establish your power, and it closes the loop, and then you feel good.
Okay, great. Thank you, Marnie.
Of course.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yes. And you are for sure not the only person who's been in that situation. So for sure. Okay. Brittany.
Thanks.
There we go. Well, Erin, I'm glad you brought up the vulnerability stuff, because my question is just, you know, I think it takes time, obviously, to generate that trust and the vulnerability, Marnie. But, you know, like, what, how long is too long before you're like, okay, when are we going to start getting, you know, a little deeper, you know, in our connection?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that there is no rule about like how fast something goes, right? Yeah. Because of how often you see someone and all of that. But I think, are we, if we're talking about this guy that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. You,
what you're trying to do is rule out if he's quality casual or not.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you were going to say like, what do you need? What would you need to feel like it was worth investing a little more? What would you need? What would you need to know? What would you need to feel?
Well, you know, I think it's so hard. What I'm noticing now compared to when I was younger is, you know, when I was younger, I used to talk to my boyfriends almost every day on the phone. And that's just not the way a lot of these guys communicate. It's more texting and then in person, which is fine. You know, I know it's different, but I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm just missing some of the vulnerability and just getting to know them on a bit of a deeper level. Sometimes
you're not feeling very, so I'm going to make it feelings oriented. So
yeah,
what I hear you saying is you're not feeling emotionally connected. Like you don't feel him.
Not completely. Yeah. Like it still feels somewhat surface level, you know?
Okay. And then how often are you talking to him?
Well, we text every day. Okay. I haven't seen him as much because of this, you know, this test, but so I feel like things are on pause, which I understand, et cetera. And this isn't just in this circumstance. You know, the guy I was dating last year, Ryan, it was a similar thing. You know, we had been together several months and there was just, it just didn't feel like he was willing to be vulnerable. Yeah. You know,
and then does this guy, if you talk to him about like what he's looking for and is he looking for the same thing?
Yeah. No, it seems like those goals okay. are aligned.
Okay.
I mean, he definitely is, it could be a capacity thing right now, but I don't know. It's just an interest. It's something that I have noticed that has come yeah. up with multiple guys. So
I think, first of all, you need to see, are you being vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you're just keeping it on the surface and being polite and friendly and, you know, make really great at making him feel comfortable and having a good time, and you're not being vulnerable, like it's going to be a energetic match, right? And
yeah.
that's not what you want. So I think that the most important thing you could do is to be vulnerable. And so maybe you say like, something like, I really want to support your, all the work you're doing for your exam. I'm in a place where, I'm ready to like meet my person.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I'm wondering is how can we get more connected and you be busy?
Yeah.
And so maybe what you say is like, I'd love if we could talk on the phone or if we could do a Zoom date or we could do a fake, like, what's your need?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And you could even say like, it's scary to say this because I know you're really busy, but also I want to make sure that we're still building and moving towards something.
Yeah.
While we're both pursuing our individual goals and dreams.
Yeah.
Because
would you say that in person though? Like, or would you do that via text?
I mean, I wouldn't wait 2 more weeks to say it.
Yeah.
You can't see.
Well, I think we're hopefully going to see each other this weekend.
Then I would definitely say it in person if you can.
Okay. Okay.
And get really clear what you need.
Yeah.
Okay. But if it's say like, I'm in a place where like, you know, I know we each have our own individual goals and dreams and we want to be able to pursue those, but I'm in a place where also I want to be with a person where we're still building connection and progressing
yeah.
our relationship forward. And I feel like we're kind of stalled. So what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, to feel more connected. Cause I, you know, it's making me nervous and scared.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to waste my time. He doesn't want to waste his time, you know?
Exactly.
So there's that whole piece.
Can I just say one thing having gone through that exam?
Wait. No, you cannot just say one thing. Sorry. I appreciate you can put in the chat. You can share your experience, but I definitely don't want to get in the habit of advice giving from other people. So if you want to put in the chat your experience, that's great. Because I know that you're a CPA and I know it's really hard and he's really busy and all that stuff. But feel free to put whatever you're going to put in the chat, but I definitely don't want to get in the, what they call in the 12 steps crosstalk.
My other just real quick follow-up question, because
sure, please,
it sounds like everyone, with the vulnerability, part of that is we're unclear where we're at. You know, it's not like we're boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, to your boyfriend from the beginning. So maybe that's part of it too. Like, we're not in a relationship, so we don't, I don't know. Like, some of that unclear gray area, I don't know, you know, how to navigate that sometimes.
Well, right. Either. And so it's about expectations. And you can say, I know we're not boyfriend, girlfriend, right? Yeah. However, right? Yeah. Like, I'm dating because I want to progress and move forward and build connection. Yeah. And you can even say, like, I think I've coached Aaron about, like, you know, and sometimes, you know, I get very focused and I'm not vulnerable and I want to make sure it's not a me thing. Right.
Yeah. But
like, I want to just know that we're on the same page and we're moving things forward. Cause I don't feel any more connected to you, or I don't feel like I'm getting to know you more. Okay. And that's a bummer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Without putting labels on the relationship, you know, cause I don't want to pressure that either, but.
Well, you don't want to pressure that, but you still get to have, and this is for everybody, you still get to have needs even without a label.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And your need right now is like, look, I'm spending emotional, physical energy. I'm thinking about you. I'm seeing you. And, it's not moving forward, basically. I mean, you're going to say it nicer than that, but that's the problem.
The point,
You know, and I remember even in my own journey, I had this exact same situation when I was single. And I remember having this conversation with a guy and being like, I know you're super busy. He was busy. He was like starting a company, whatever. And I was like, I just feel like, you know, we're just seeing each other like in between you're this and in between you're that. And I feel like we're not moving forward. Yeah. He was like, I didn't even realize that. I guess you're right. I'm going to do better, you know? And then, but nothing changed. Right.
Yeah.
And then later on, he invited me to join like a work Google group and not ask me out on a date. And I knew it was doomed. But I was really glad that I had that conversation, because I planted the seed of like, I need to be a little bit more important if we're going to.
Yeah, exactly. If we're going to move forward, or because I'm trying to make this the priority and I need that too. So.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect.
Let us know how it goes.
I'll keep you updated.
Okay. Awesome. And then Deb said something about, she needed to. So do something active. Keep moving, but also keep dating. I think that'll also help. Okay. Jessica.
Okay, what would be helpful for me is that I'm noticing some like new, not patterns, but like new, like things coming up for me around like control and so I used to be single, I make all my decisions all of myself without considering anyone else, and now I'm not doing that anymore. So now I'm having like challenges that are coming up for me around feeling like controlled and like wanting to be like independent, but also feeling like I'm like a kid and like someone else has all this money and I don't have all this money. So I think maybe I need help like uncovering like what's behind that for me.
So, okay, that's a great question. So let's talk about so there's like the logistic stuff and like the conversation and expectations, right? About money and making decisions and all that stuff that you guys need to sort out.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, so what's the scenario that comes up that makes you feel like controlled or rebellious or like you're not empowered? Like what triggers that?
Like, I want to spend money on something. And he's like, that's too expensive. And like, because he makes, like, it's supposed to be our money. And like everything, like, it's not even him, it's me, that I don't feel like it's our money. I feel like it's like his money and like my money, but that I don't feel like an adult in these conversations. I feel like I'm like a kid asking like their dad for money.
Okay. So is there like a situation or a time in your early childhood where this feeling feels familiar? Like, what's the first memory you have of feeling like you have to ask to get what you want?
Ask for money or ask for anything to get what I want?
Well, if you have a money situation, that's great. Or a time where you didn't have money and you had to ask someone for money, or...
I knew never to ask because we didn't have any money. So I didn't ask for money because I knew like there wasn't any.
Okay. So, and you wanted something. So how old were you? The first memory where you're like, you wanted something, but you couldn't, you had to ask. Well, you couldn't ask.
My mom, I'm going to cry. My mom bought, like, I really wanted this backpack, and it was like an animal backpack, and she bought it for me. But then like, I couldn't keep it because she had to return it because we couldn't afford it. So like, I would go to the car and I'd look at the backpack before she returned it because I was like, I wanted it so bad.
Yeah. So how old were you when that happened?
I think I was like maybe like 7.
Okay. So your little who couldn't have what she really wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're experiencing wanting something in your relationship, does it make sense that your little who is the one that feels like she doesn't have a choice?
Yes, because I won't even like, I'll just be like, fine. Instead of being like having a conversation about it, I just like shut down. Like I won't like, yeah, like, and I do feel like powerless, even though I'm not powerless, but I feel powerless.
Yeah, because your little who is like, I guess we can't ask.
Yeah.
Like, you're having transference. So there's a little who. That's number one. And number two is you're having transference, meaning that you're transferring your mom onto your husband.
Yes. And I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, we're broke. Even though we're not, but it feels like we're broke. Okay, that makes so much sense. Cause I'm just like, oh, we just don't have any money. We don't like, we just like, we're broke. We don't have money. But like, that's not true. Okay, but I really do feel that. Okay.
Yes, because you feel 7 and you feel like he's the power holder and he gets to tell you what you can and you can't have.
Yeah.
Right? And so, what, when you feel that experience, what, so then based on what I've just told you, so when you've asked him to buy something, what's really going on?
I'm like, oh, we should do this. And he's like, oh, it's too expensive. And I just get super upset and I'm like, fine. Okay. Then I'm like, forget it. Like,
right. So what's really going on?
Oh, is that like, it's like my little, who's like saying that it's not really my adult self. Who's like talk. Cause if my adult self would be like, I think actually we do have enough money, or like, I think this is important because blah, blah, blah. Instead of just being like, okay, fine, forget it. Like, I guess you don't have enough money, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right. Like the victim, right.
Yes.
Or the rebel, you know, whatever role that you took.
Okay.
So let's take that 7-year-old little who, and then did she turn into like, I want to make you happy, or did she turn into a rebel with the money and buying stuff and I'm going to do what I want anyway? What role did that end up being? And what was the self-talk?
It's not okay to like ask for stuff. It's not okay to want anything. Like, you don't want to be a burden. That was
so, So people pleasing.
Yeah, people. Yes. Like so like people pleasing, but also I get like resentful. I feel resentful towards him. Like I feel like fine, but that's not really what I actually want, and I just feel angry.
Right. So love shield. So shame message. So what's the message your little who believed when you wanted the backpack?
I'll never have anything nice, or like I don't deserve. I think I'll maybe, no. I think I'll never have anything good. I'll never have anything nice.
So I'm not, is that I'm not important? I'm not enough.
Yeah, I'm not important. Yeah, I'm not important.
I'm not important, right? And so that's the negative internal parental voice, right? Because your little 7-year-old brain was like, other stuff, like you have a purse, you're wearing makeup, like you get to have what you want, right? But the right. So then you internalize it, like, what's wrong with me? Why don't I get to have what I want? I'm not important. Mom's returning it. It's almost worse, right? Because it's like you got it and then you didn't get it. And in your situation, like you had your independence and you had your power, and now someone's like, quote unquote, taking it away from you.
Yeah, even though he's not saying that, but I feel that
You
way.
feel that, right? That's the story. So that's the story of your little who. That's her name, right? And then the behavior is, like peacemaker. Fine then. Whatever makes you happy.
You know what's interesting? Like I know where like his this is too expensive is coming from. Like that's what his dad would say. So like I know where it's coming from him, but I didn't have that recognition for myself. Like, I just knew I'm like. Something weird keeps happening to me, but I didn't have that awareness for myself. So this is like super helpful.
Yeah, you guys are having the dynamic. He's your dad, and he's his dad, and you're the little kid with mom. Right? And so, and then, caretaking, numbing, obsessing, apathy, whatever it is, right? All that stuff happens. So for you, like, it's probably a really good thing to talk about, like, oh God, we need to figure out what we're going to do with money. Right? Like, how are we gonna talk about money? How are we gonna organize our money? How are we gonna make decisions about money?
And it would be helpful if him, instead of him saying that's too expensive for him to be like, oh, tell me more about why that's important to you, like to ask me a question versus like, no, that's too expensive, like, because I don't really want to hear that. So I could
Right.
also share that with him too. Like it would be helpful if you were to ask me or be curious about like why it is I'm wanting this thing or I think we should spend money on this versus like it's just too expensive.
Exactly, right? And so then you could have a repair conversation kind of that goes like, the other day when I asked you about, that idea and you said this, it made me feel like when I was 7 and my mom, returned the backpack, and it made me feel like I'm not important. And next time, what I'm going to do different is I'm going to like connect to my adult self, and what I need from you is, to be curious about why, and then we can both have an adult conversation.
Yeah, like owning my part of it, which is like, yeah, that I go into this place, but also like asking for what it is I'm needing too.
Exactly. And then big picture is like, and so what we should probably do is sit around and be like, okay, what's our budget? How are we going to do this? Like, how are we going to make decisions about what to do and what not to do? And what are like off limits reactions? Like, okay, fine. And that's too expensive. Need to not be options.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yes, that makes sense.
And then I think it would be really great for you to like talk to your little who, right? So do some ACE conversations.
Okay. That was so helpful. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Great question. Okay, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi.
So I've been trying to figure out how to succinctly say this. So what I, because it's all gooey in my head. So what I'm needing help with is back on the dating train.
Yay.
And and so texting with a couple, FaceTime date tomorrow with one. And I'm even like shaking because this makes me feel so nervous. So my entire life, I feel like I've dated, whether serious, casual, whatever, one or two people that I found like that I was like sincere, like attracted to them. And so the majority, it's more about the personality and what's behind that, like the superficial part, because that makes people, as we know, Mike said, like it makes people more attractive, right? And that's always been the case. And in my serious relationships that I've had, that's like in my, you know, like, so I've been stewing about this because I'm like, whose norms am I comparing this to of like what's attractive, right? Like societal norms, like my thing, like what is it? What it comes down to is that in my past, the serious ones I've been with, whether marriage or serious relationships, I have not been like physically attracted to them. And it's like worked out in other ways. So I'm in this situation with a handful that I don't feel attracted to them. Like this one person, I don't feel attracted to him. And like his pictures, there were some that I was like, oh, yes. They're like, oh, the eyes are like, I'm like, oh, the smile. And I try to find things to me that like, yes, pull me in to be attracted to the person, like from a physical state. Mm-hmm. And then we had a FaceTime and he looked very different-ish, like just life, we all change. He had some recent pictures, but he just looked different, didn't look as like healthy. And so I kept thinking, okay, what would Marty say? And I was going back to my non-negotiables, right? Like, okay, this still goes back to my non-negotiables because am I shortchanging myself? Like I'm very judging myself. Like I'm feeling very guilty of judging someone else on their looks. Cause that's like, I think the worst thing to like when that's happened to me. So I'm feeling really guilty about it. And at the same time, like I think it's a rut. I wrote down like, oh, this might be a new rut because it's like, oh, and it's a, for sure, a little who, like, well, you don't deserve, or you don't, you know, you don't get to be attracted to people that you find attractive because you're not, you don't look how you're supposed to look to attract the people that you want to attract. So that's definitely my like little who message. So I'm just feeling really badly because I'm going to go on this date and he's like, we've been texting a lot and like, so far, very superficially, we haven't even met in human, you know, real person, but meeting a lot of the non-negotiables, it seems really fun and funny. And I just, maybe it will change in person, I'm hoping, but at this point, and I just feel like a bad person for not feeling excited to meet him when he seems great. But this is always what I say. This is the rut. Like, yeah, there's, you know, I kind of justify it. Like, oh, because they are great, the people that I've been with, like they have been great, but I have not been physically attracted to them. And they've said they've been physically attracted to me. So I don't know what to do with that.
Well, I think you're not alone. I saw a lot of people nodding their heads. So that's really good. So a couple things. One is my intuition is that it's the guilt is like, yes, you feel guilt for judging them, but really what you're doing is you're judging yourself.
For sure. And that's what I've been saying to myself. It's like, I'm judging me for on multiple levels, many onion, like lots of like 15 onion layers going on here.
Yeah. So I think like the most important thing you could do today or tonight is to do that stuck energy thing. And like, because there's this stuck old narrative of, you know, your dad's voice or whoever's voice, right? Saying like, you know, you're not enough, right? You need to look a certain way. You need to be perfect. You need to whatever. Okay. So that's number one. Number two is, that you're, and this is really important, is for everyone who this is relevant to, is going out on a date with someone is not decide, is not choosing that person. Right? You're literally like, imagine it was a, he worked for Nike and you were going to have a conversation with him about coaching people at Nike, right? You wouldn't, you would be looking at a whole other set of criteria.
Yeah.
Right. And so, it's really just like, and by the way, guys, ladies, when you text someone a lot in between the dates, you create that like illusion of this connection. And then you feel, can feel like, oh, he's so nice. I feel shitty. Like, am I leading him on? Like, he's being so nice. Like, I'm not being genuine, right? Because you're not being genuine. You're not matching his energy. You're just like, not sure. But I'm guessing his texting is sure, is confident.
And very lots of compliments.
Right. Yep. So, so then that happens. And then in your head, you're like, I'm bad, right? I'm not being in alignment. I'm, you know, I'm not resonant, this, right? Because you're faking it.
Parts of it. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm not saying anything that's not true, but I'm also like kind of, in a way, I felt like a lot of times, like I've settled in that, well, it's okay that you're not, like, it's okay that you're not totally attractive and into this person, because all these other things are there that are so amazing and you'll never get any 100%, right? Like, that's kind of been my limiting belief. Not kind of, it has been.
It has been. So you need to work with that limiting belief, right? Like, you get to have whatever you choose.
Mm-hmm.
You have your five non-negotiables, you know?
Right. And so I think that's under the intimacy part. Like,
yeah, right. Or connection, like, whatever it is. So,
So then if it doesn't, then what do I say? I mean, I feel like it's chemistry, or like to say this isn't.
Yeah. I mean, so you can go out with them and see in person what it's really like. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say, after our FaceTime date or whatever it was, our Zoom date or whatever, I'm feeling like we're not a match.
Even though I kept texting after that, that's where I feel like the bad person.
You're not a bad person. You're getting clarity. I mean, so dating is the process. And so what happens in between the dates is as important as on the dates. And by the way, Jamie, him being like very complimentary or overly complimentary can also give you the ick, right? Because you're like, you don't even know me. Why are you giving me all these compliments?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then and that's showing his like almost insecurity, because he's like, you're so great. You're so pretty. You're like, you don't even know me. Like, why are you telling me all this stuff? Right. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a lot more in it than just how he looks.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there's no right thing to do. Right. So you can go out on it with them just to give it a go and say you don't want to go out with them again. You can not go out with him now.
Right. I want to go out just to see, because maybe maybe there is a spark or something that I don't want to discount and then regret, or just not. I mean, I just feel bad if there's not.
But why do you feel bad?
Because I'm judging off of a superficial thing versus who someone is in their heart as a person.
Right. But if you're meeting non-negotiable is connection and chemistry, it's the same as not liking someone because, you know, something else that's not a non-negotiable.
Right.
They want to have kids.
Yeah.
Or they're not looking for a serious relationship. I mean, everything is equal. It's not a weighted system.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's more about, it's about
it me. Is about you, because you always put your old way is to put that on the emphasis. People love me because I'm attractive or I'm not attractive. Mm-hmm. That's my value. So you're having transference, right? You're putting that on him.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to feel bad because he hasn't done anything wrong and neither have you.
Yeah.
So I think the deeper question is, why do you need to beat yourself up? Why do you think you're attached to, like, I'm bad, I've done something wrong?
Because of how I was treated.
So are you punishing yourself for being human?
Well, I think it's just, it feels badly thinking that someone's unattractive and that that's a value.
Right.
But attractive to me. And then that's value because being on the receiving end of that sucks. And so it's like someone's value and it feels like shit for someone to like say that or openly say that to you, which I wouldn't openly say that to him. But I think it's just my stuff.
Right. But here's the thing. It's 100% subjective.
Yes, completely.
Because guys, I don't get the Travis Kelce thing. I have no desire to see that man naked. Right. But someone else thinks he's totally so hot and so sexy.
Yeah.
Have you seen that meme where he's on the Super Bowl stage and he's saying, you've got to fight for your, have you seen that, guys? Huh. He's like, you got to fight for your right.
What do you have the trophy?
And they pan over to Taylor Swift. And I was like, is she thinking that's gross? And so people are like, you know, the memes are like, watch Taylor get the ick in real life, you know, or like, but some people think, oh, that's so placeful and so fun, you know, like, so.
I think, I think the bottom line is that I need to work on the feeling badly about judging someone based on how, if they are attractive to me or not, because there are some people that I find attractive and some of my girlfriends are like, ew. And I'm like, ew, well, you're ew. Like, that's ew.
Right, exactly. So it's just part of your non-negotiable and you get to be discerning about what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody has their own thing. And by the way, you guys all know that you could date someone who's super hot and then he does something really weird and you're like, ooh, like sure. I dated this guy and he was so freaking hot. I swear to God, I like met him at Hoffman thing at a Q2 and like, it was deep and it was so spiritual. We went to New York and we were staying at this Airbnb thing and we had to like move, unfortunately, in the middle. And he literally, I don't know if you guys can see this, but we're in the streets of New York and he did this. He was like, oh my God, it's so hot. I don't want to take the keys. And literally right then I was like, this thing. And I remember, and I was like, fine, I'll take the keys because that's me at the time. But I remember calling my dad and I was walking to this place to return the keys. And I was like, I can't, I just can't. Like everything he did, everything he said, like it didn't matter that he was good looking. All of a sudden in a minute, I was like off. Like it was the ick, literally, before the ick was the thing. And so we know that really attractive people can have qualities or characteristics that turn us off. And we know, you know, a la Harry and Sex and the City and right. And that character, right. Charlotte, where like the bald guy is like the hot guy. Right. And so this is, I want you to like, you need to neutralize it. It's just one of your non-negotiables. And then really do the internal, like the forgiveness work and like get rid of that stuck energy that you're bad because you have an opinion.
Yeah.
Cause it's really just your opinion. It's not the truth.
Yeah. Thank you. I know, like I, with my energy, I was like, oh, if I was on Love is Blind, I would so fail. Like, I'd be like, this is all awesome. And they do the reveal and my face would be like, and I would so be.
Yeah. You'd be out. I watched a really old episode of Sex and the City where Samantha, there's this guy, they're at a wedding and they're like, they go to this wedding and there's a nerdy, horrible guy with really bad breath. And Samantha ends up talking to him at this party and she gets stood up by some guy. And so she decides to date the guy. And so she dresses him up and she puts him in great clothes. And, you know, all of the girls are like, I do totally not get it. And in the end, of course, you know, he's still that gross guy, right? Who's talking about like his food in a weird way. And so she goes like, you know, I'm going to leave. This date is over. Meaning that even if you take this person and you dress them up in all this way, it's just either going to work or it's not going to work, but it's totally subjective. And you don't know that. And some people do become more attractive and some people just aren't. And that's okay. They're not attractive to you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Love that question. Katie.
Hey, thank you, everybody. What would be helpful for me is if I could get some clarity about what I'm doing with this guy. Let's see. I'll just remind you that, you know, I do this Compassion for Ukraine thing. Been doing it every day for 2 years.
Is
and there's
he the
this
guy. Is he that guy that you? And he said, "I'm not ready. I'm still." Right.
Exactly. Okay. That guy. But, you know, I see him every day on the Zoom thing. And occasionally I see him in person and we talk on the phone a lot and we text and I found a certain freedom in the relationship because I know he's not ready. Right.
Yeah.
And we go on just relating and getting to know each other more. And I just really like him. He's easy to talk to. He's helpful. And then today something happened where it's really, I don't know if it's a little who or what, but it's really brought up concern, which is I have a lot of trauma in my past and I've done a lot of therapy and meditating. You know, it's an ongoing every day, all day trying to not slip in. And I've made progress about sharing it with dates and people, you know, like the beginning, I'd be out there with all my trauma. And then I just realized, no, I don't need to do that. You know, so I have learned to just not put it all out there at the beginning. Just kind of parse it out and say with this guy I've been with for, you know, talking to him for like 2 years, I haven't like spilled all the trauma, but over time things come out like the lung cancer and the plane crash. And the today early childhood abuse came out. And he was like, oh my God, you know, he was like, there's just so much, I don't know what his words were, but basically just another hit. Like you've had so much trauma. He, I think he was talking about like being pushed down. And I said, yeah, but that's how far up I go. You know, I really feel like I have really, I'm a thriver. You know, I'm one of these people who has, you know, I'm a pretty cool person. What can I tell you? I'm not stuck there.
Right.
Because you work with it so fucking much. But anyway, so it was very intense to have him reflect back how much trauma, you know, I'd had. And I said, yeah, but you know, that's like I bounced up because I am a cheerful person and I learn and I'm curious and I have a good life. I'm happy. I mean, you know, other than wanting to have a man, which we could talk about, but anyway, the point is he had to get off the phone right after he said that. And he said, I'll call you back. And then I sort of slipped into a dark hole about, oh, I'm so traumatized and nobody's going to want to be with me because I can't do anything about my past. And anyway, so he called back and he said, you know, I once had a therapist who warned me against trauma bonding. And he said, I hope we're not trauma bonding. And I said, well, I'm sorry if I dumped on you. He said, I don't feel like you dumped on me, but he said, I'm just worried about trauma bonding. And so, so now I come to you right after this conversation with him going, what the fuck, you know, I can't do anything about my past other than what I'm doing. And I've done a great job. And it's like, I haven't like dumped it all out on the guy in the last 2 years. It's been parsed out. So it's just Katie, true.
So here's the thing. First of all, fuck him. Because you are amazing and you are inspiring and gorgeous and beautiful and loving and honest and vulnerable and sweet and all those things, right? And so I just really see you for who you really, really, truly are. You are definitely not your trauma. Like that isn't, and I've been doing this a really long time and that is not you.
Thank you.
Like 100 million percent. I mean, you know, you do lung cancer like it was a hangnail. You're literally like so empowered and powerful, you know?
Well, but it, compared to the plane crash, it is a fucking hangnail.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Like you have gratitude and wonder and all these amazing things. So here's what I want to say.
Okay.
That guy is just leaking his own shit because he's told you, I'm not ready for a relationship. I don't want to da da da. And when he says, oh, are we trauma bonding? What he's saying is we probably shouldn't be bonding. We're bonding. I am being friendly. I'm being friends with you. But actually what I'm doing is talking to you and flirting with you and having a connection with you. And so when he says, I hope we're not trauma bonding, what he's probably saying is to himself, oh God, I'm in an emotional relationship with Katie and I'm not ready for that. And the minute someone tells me of their struggle, I fall into a trap where he feels responsible or that's his shit.
Okay.
So like, I'm just not sure if he's like the most amazing friend and he's definitely not an amazing date right now because he's not looking for something.
He's not available.
Right. So I think you have to really look at is like, what do I want? What am I getting from this relationship at this point?
Okay. Right?
Because he leaked his trauma and his issues like at a 10 all over you.
Okay.
You never said like, oh, I had trauma and I'm looking for someone to save me or fix me or, you know, you didn't set it up that way at all. Right. And so and maybe he did that with his past relationships. Who knows? But that's definitely not your problem.
Right.
But I just think to me, that's like a giant red flag.
Okay.
And he's already got he's got so many flags, we can't even see him.
See, that's what I need help with. Thank you. You're seeing flags. I'm, you know how I'm seeing it? I'm seeing like, wow, this is freedom. This is a relationship where I know that we're not like dating. So I see it as an opportunity for, you know, exploring friendship with a man.
Yeah. You know? And I just don't think that most of us need that.
Okay.
Like I mean, I know I have like a bestie who's like, dude, he's in a relationship. Right. And I would never, never date him in a million years. Because I know him so well. Nothing I find attractive about him, but he's attractive. But the bottom line is, like, I don't have to overthink any of those things because we're literally just friends,
right?
We're actually friends. So when we get hurt, right, like we have to look at like what is really going on here. And I'm concerned is that even though you're friends, you probably still have a little crush on him. And,
oh, I do.
Yeah, and he has a little crush on you, and now he's leaking, and so it's just not maybe the healthiest situation.
Right.
And I never want to tell anyone, like, what to do, you know, or who to be with, or who to talk to, or any of those things, except Alexandria. But, it's your decision, right? But, like, you have to look at, like, if you were just a friend, what would you do?
Well, actually, I share a lot with my friends, you know. I mean, my issue is I need to be less open. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I see it as good because I'm super open and vulnerable, but so I am actually relating to him as if he were a girlfriend, you know, because I mean, there is the crush thing, but you see what I mean? It's
right.
I'm very open with everybody. Yeah. You know?
But the crush thing is probably bigger than you're giving it credit.
And that's where the dating comes in. I feel a certain desperation about dating to get me away from my attraction to him.
And that is why you probably would be higher served by just not being his friend right now because it's a distraction from the other guys. He's like maybe part of your like love shield.
Maybe.
Well, he friend zoned you.
Yeah.
And you're still, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe creating some space. And he also, and like Alexandria said, friends don't make you feel like shit. Because when you said he called back, I was going to be like, oh, he called back to apologize. But he called back to make it worse.
And he called back to caution us against trauma bonding.
You're like, I don't need you to caution. I'm good. But so clearly you feel compelled to like fix me. And I never asked for that. And I don't need that. And so that's your problem.
Okay.
But what he did is he stirred up this thing that makes you feel bad about yourself. And I don't love that for you.
Right. Right. Because the truth is, both are true. You know, I've had incredible trauma and I'm doing incredibly well. I mean,
exactly.
And there's no way to not have that past that happened.
No. And that, so if someone, and back to like the Aaron conversation, right. Of like,
yeah.
You know, if that guy that Aaron was talking about was like, oh, you know, my wife is da, da, da. And then Aaron was like, oh yeah. I'm like, I'm dating and they're just such assholes. And like, oh my God, dating is so hard. Oh, I wish I could meet someone like you. Oh yeah, you're amazing. That's trauma bonding, right? That's
right,
like
right,
bonding
right,
over
right.
A shared bad experience, right? And you weren't trying to do that and he made it that and that's his shit. So, right? So I would just be super wary because he's okay. Already said he's not looking to date you, but right. He's acting like it. So he's a little out of integrity and now he's sort of like, blaming you for his own shit. And I don't love that.
Well, but isn't making it a, when he said the thing about trauma bonding, I mean, that's relative, relevant to a relationship. It kind of made me think he's like looking at this like a relationship.
Well, that's because, just it. So he's not being consistent.
That's what you mean about being out of integrity.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's got like, it. We're got just it. Friends, but like yeah. He wants his cake and eating it too.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is helpful. And I so appreciate it. I feel validated in my view that I'm doing incredibly well.
You're doing great. And so as your dating coach, I would just say, like, I don't want this crush on this guy to take you away from being emotionally available with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you. And thank you. I see a heart there. Thank you so much, everybody.
Mwah.
Ciao.
All right. Let's see. Any other questions? Jane.
I'm not sure if I know what my question is otherwise, other than say it would be helpful just to have a little bit of encouragement just to check in, see if I'm doing okay. Actually,
well, your post was like, I feel great. I have a big shift. I'm meeting great guys. So it sounds like you're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm at that point where I think there's a front runner. And I know that's quite a dangerous thing to get into, isn't it?
No, so, that's a great thing. We like front runners.
Oh, we do. Okay.
We need to keep them running. So we have to make sure there's other competition. So just dating.
How do we let them know that we have choices without having saying I've got choices?
We don't need to. It's just you just know it.
Okay.
You don't need to tell him unless he says like, you know, is there anyone else you're dating? That rarely happens.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just have really made a shift. And it's just like this lovely sense of, actually, this is fun. I'm gorgeous. There are gorgeous people we can meet.
That makes me so happy to hear. You've worked very, 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 very hard. And that's amazing. So congratulations. Keep dating. Keep dating other people until it's exclusive.
Okay. And I'll post some more stories on the feed. Wow.
That'd be great. So I'm going to call on people to share wins, because I told people that if you don't talk, I'm going to call on you. And even though there's no other questions, so if you know who you are, just get ready. So Bernie.
Hi.
Hi. What's a little baby win for you in the last week or so?
Well, oh, since I talked to you on Thursday?
Yeah, or even since you started last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
I mean, I guess my little win is I finally just started. I started module one, so.
That's amazing. It's a big one.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been extremely busy, but, you know, there was so a pretty active social life, and I hope to finish this, and I'm trying to buy a house, so a lot going on right now. But I'm committed to finishing this module by the end of the week. So
awesome. All right. We can't wait to meet your gremlins and all that.
Yeah. Like, right. Yes.
Awesome. All right, Brenda. Good to see you. Oh, she's unmuting. It's so hard on the phone.
Hi. Good to see you too. Well, I think a little win is definitely just being here.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I think just pushing through some resistance and taking action. And that's been my week. I'm just starting anew, not looking back and beating myself up for not progressing, but just focusing on where I am and what I've again, started anew.
I love that. I was sending you good vibes. I was like, Brenda's going to come emerge. Brenda's going to emerge. And there you are.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. All right, Alexandria.
Well, I'm on the call. That would be my little win. I don't know. I've been doing good about picking meat.
That was the homework.
That was my homework. I'm supposed to send it to you on Slack. I haven't done that yet. But I have been doing better about just picking myself. And so to give you an example, on Sunday, I did not go to the theater all day and work all day. I dropped my kid off and I came home and I did my stuff and I took a bath.
What? I love it. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you.
I just took the day to myself and got my stuff done.
Amazing. I freaking love that. Congratulations. That makes me so happy.
I know. It's so exciting. I'm 50 something years old and I took a bath.
Hey, it's the little things that add up, believe me. Really great. So good to hear it. We all started with that, like just taking a bath. For sure. All right, Christabel.
Hello, everybody. I don't know if I have a major win as far as all of this, but I do feel like, I really do feel like it's clicking now. Like all of this stuff is really sort of making sense. And that's a really good feeling. So I think that's great. And the other win that I had is that I knitted my sweater. I finished. So I'm very excited about that.
That's so amazing. I love that. That is so great. And did you send me, am I imagining it, or did you send me your profile?
I did this morning.
You did, right?
Yes.
Do you want to go over it?
We had a snow day today. So yes. So I was like, I'm going to work on that.
That's amazing. Okay. Let's look at it. Okay. So yeah, so I'm just gonna answer your question. So, I'm pretty sure it'll fit on Match. So we'll look at it, and you do adjust it to fit in dating apps. You just come up with like a little short thing. And luckily it's recorded. So you'll, have all my notes. Okay. You are that big-hearted, happy, outgoing man that's ready for the next chapter. I am the loving, supportive environment you'd love to be with, and your family and friends with are great. The great smile is what initially caught my attention. It's your chivalrous nature and compassion for others that warmed my heart. I admire how you show up in life filled with excitement for new experiences and no fear of looking silly because you don't take life too seriously. You always manage to make me laugh when you share funny stories about yourself. And I think it's one of the sexiest things about you. I love making you laugh too, which you do often whenever you're trying to see me fix something after watch. Okay. So we need to make it a little bit more personal. So just give me a something that you would fix after watching a YouTube video. Like just put it in an example, like trying to like, you know,
shower head.
Yeah. Trying to change. Exactly. And so that's that. We have the best time. They're playing pickleball, golf, having dinner with friends, or discovering some new activity together. Okay, that's great. We both have, hold on, I have to make it a little bigger. We've both been seeing much of the world already, committed to continue to do so, hiking Machu Picchu, touring the vineyards of Bolero, simply a weekend going to the countryside. Okay, can you name where are you from? Where are you? What's the countryside for you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I just kind of copied and pasted because I wasn't sure what things I was supposed to change and what I wasn't. So,
so where's the countryside near you where you would actually go?
I guess, well, I'm in Westchester, New York. So I guess the countryside, I don't know, you could go to Vermont.
Okay, that's great. So simply a weekend getaway to the country, to Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And maybe you could be like, if there's a town or maybe there's a really cool place that you would like to go in wherever in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
You could say like, I do love the blah, blah, blah hotel or whatever, Airbnb, right. Or whatever, you know, the bathtub, the fireplace and that, you know, and the pub or whatever it is, just make it a little personal.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we love to explore in so many places. A comfortable home is important. Okay. So for the next part, when we travel, so I would be like, whether we're going to, you know, Bali or Prague, whatever, we like to research places we're going. And do you like to do that, or do you want him to do that, or do you both like to do that?
Maybe a little combination of both.
Okay, so maybe it's like when we travel, we both take turns researching the places we're going.
Okay.
And we love it when there's an opportunity to become spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get rid of whether roughing it or staying at the 5-star hotel, because you kind of already got that with the Vermont thing, and you know, you don't need to say it again.
Okay.
You understand the truth is a life of found through spending time and creating memories with family and friends, having a game night playing Catan, or enjoy making sourdough bread. You think my go-to recipe. Okay. So you have to put whatever your go-to recipe is. You think
takeout
lasagna. That's great. You can put, you think my go-to recipe, and you could be like, I order a great takeout, right? is the most amazing. And you're always willing to be my sous chef, or I'm willing to be your sous chef.
Right.
Right. So just be funny about it. Right. You mm-hmm. think my go-to recipe, you know, and then put parentheses like, I order mean takeout from blah, blah, blah. It's the most amazing. And I'm always willing to be your sous chef.
Okay.
No matter what we do, there's always fun and easy conversation involved. Makes me so happy when you open doors for me, guiding with hand my back, fixing my, do you have veggie and flower beds and home projects and stuff?
I do.
Okay, cool. You love how I reciprocate with an affection kiss and a long hug. I would get rid of I feel so loved and cared, grab my hand, because we've already got that physical touch thing.
Okay.
And if there's another home project that you have besides tending to a home project, I would put that in there.
Okay.
We're each other's cheerleaders, celebrating moments and grand achievements of our lives. I'm proud to be the woman. Grateful that this is great. I would get rid of come join with me. Come join me. I'm not a fan of the call to action.
Okay.
I think it looks great. So you just need to personalize it.
Okay.
So do that and then send it back to me.
Okay.
And then in the Fathom recording of this, which will be on the recording, you can see the whole the script, our transcript. So you literally can just copy paste what we talked about if it feels right for you.
Okay.
And then once we get that, we can work on the Bumble and all that.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
Yay. Did you all see some familiar lines in the profile? It works. All right. Love that. So great job today. Great questions. Keep on. So update me. Let me know how that goes, Jessica, that conversation, the dates, the follow-ups. Keep taking baths. Keep showing up. Keep doing the work. And I will see you all on our next coaching call. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.